So as Father mentioned this morning, today is Gaudete Sunday. The church recommends that we take a break from penitence on this weekend and rejoice. And the Gaudete, as Father said, from the Latin meaning to rejoice. And we recognize this shift by a change in garments. So today, instead of the purple of penitence, we wear a more festive rose color. And that's also why the third candle, the Advent wreath, is also rose colored. Now, I prefer the word rose to pink, but not for the reason you might think. It's because rose reminds me of Mary. And this past week, we certainly had a celebration of Mary. On December 12th, we celebrated Our Lady of Guadalupe. And Our Lady of Guadalupe had made a gift of roses in the middle of winter to St. Juan Diego. On December 10th, we celebrated for the first time, added to the Roman calendar, the memorial for Our Lady of Loreto. And on December 9th, we celebrated the Immaculate Conception of Mary. Mary, who was conceived without original sin, so that she might be pure and unblemished, immaculate, worthy of carrying and nurturing within herself Jesus, Son of God. Think about that. To be pregnant with God. Mary was pregnant with the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Word made flesh, who was sent as a Savior to redeem the world of its sin. This is why we are called to rejoice today, to be full of joy on Gaudete Sunday, because we remember and we're reminded that the birth of our Savior is close at hand. In fact, it's less than 2 weeks away. And it is a time of eager anticipation. And I think we can all relate to a time of eager anticipation right before the birth of a child. Whether we're parents or grandparents or aunts or uncles or brothers or sisters, cousins, even friends of the family. Pregnancy and that time right before birth is a time of excitement. It's a time of expectation. It's also a time of preparation. We busily prepare ourselves and our surroundings for the arrival of the birth of this new baby. We set up a crib, we set up a cradle, maybe a changing table, a rocking chair, and then we get supplies for the baby. Clothes, blankets, diapers, car seats, strollers, bottles, pacifiers, and baby monitors. We might even set aside a room in the house and decorate it just for the baby. We expend our time, our energy, and our resources to make sure that everything is as good as it can be. And that's as it should be. Children are a great blessing from God. But as we think about that, we should also be asking ourselves, if we're this excited and this eager to receive a child into the world who is born of a man and a woman, are we at least as equally excited or even more excited to receive the Son of God who is to be born into the world in less than 2 weeks? Are we prepared to welcome him? And if we have not yet prepared ourselves, how do we prepare? In today's gospel, Jesus quotes scripture, "Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you." And Jesus then tells us that this Old Testament prophecy from Malachi has been fulfilled in John the Baptist. John is the messenger. John is the one to prepare the way for the Lord. And what did John preach? John preached repentance and the forgiveness of sins through baptism. And that's why we began Advent, the time of preparation, with the purple of penitence. Because we first must prepare our hearts. We must make room in our hearts so that we may receive the child Jesus. And the way we make room is by emptying our hearts of those things that prevent us from welcoming Christ. The sacrament of reconciliation absolves sin and grants forgiveness. And it permits us to allow that nursery within our heart to be set aside and decorated for the arrival of the Christ child. How else might we prepare? James tells us in his letter to follow the example of the prophets. John the Baptist was a prophet. In fact, the greatest prophet, according to what Jesus said in the gospel. Now, John lived in the desert. He wore a hair shirt and he ate locusts and honey. Imitate the prophets. Well, I mean, practicing certain aspects of asceticism is certainly one way to imitate the prophets. But thankfully for me, and hopefully for you, James did mention a couple of other ways to do that. And he specifically mentioned enduring hardship and exercising patience. So how might we do that? Enduring hardship doesn't necessarily mean being persecuted for our faith or suffering through a physical illness. It could mean practicing noble silence. And so you may ask, well, what is noble silence? Noble silence is when we lay down our pride, we set aside our anger, and we maintain a silent disposition. So for instance, during that Christmas dinner, when we're forced to endure an evening with that relative who we are constantly at odds with. You know the one I'm talking about. It's the one that constantly baits us, doing things deliberately to get under our skin and get a rise out of us. Or it could just be the one that we have no commonality with in terms of our own beliefs and values. Their beliefs and values are 180 degrees different from our own. So instead of engaging them, instead of going on the offensive, we can practice noble silence by not responding to the bait. Now, that said, there could be a situation where silence is a little socially awkward, like if they're right up in your face and they're expecting you to respond. So in that case, maybe we practice noble silence by using what I would call a de-escalating phrase. So it'd be something like this. I see your point. Or, yes, you may be correct. Or, well, that's an interesting viewpoint. Or, well, I'm not familiar with that. Can you explain it further? And if all else fails, I apologize. Please forgive me. James also instructs us not to complain about one another. And that is an excellent way for us to keep our hearts prepared, to practice noble silence, and even to evangelize. In less than 2 weeks, on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day, we're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus by attending Mass. There's going to be a lot of people attending Mass, many of whom don't attend Mass at any other time of the year. We should not complain about that. In fact, We should not resent their presence, but rather we should welcome them. We should encourage them in the practice of their faith. And we should invite them to come back. Come back on Sunday, and come back on the Sunday after that. And finally, just as we prepare for the arrival of the baby by setting aside that physical space to nurture and care for the child, in a similar way, we can set aside a space in our homes to prepare to welcome Christ. Pope Francis talked about the nativity scene, the creche, and how important that was. Well, we can have a nativity scene in a room in our house. We can have multiple nativity scenes in different rooms in our house. We can display a Bible in a room where family gathers and maybe read the infancy narratives from Luke and Matthew, either out loud to the family if you have young children, or even silently in prayer to yourself. We can set up a tabletop version of the Advent wreath, maybe on the dining room table, and light the candles. Gaudete, brothers and sisters, rejoice, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. He who gives sight to the blind, makes the lame walk, and raises the dead to new life. Let us prepare ourselves to welcome him.